11. Hebrews chapter 11. While you're praying for lost souls, pray for laborers.
Amen.
Let God do that as He will. I don't care to recruit people. But I love what the Lord said. Great. So let's pray for laborers too. There's a lot to do. We had the right people. The Lord sent the right guys. Man, there's people in our direction. From Detroit, Center, Pontiac, Atlanta, Jackson. And most places are closing up and we're coordinating with the schedules and whatnot for us to go. Any families every week go and just be there. On Saturday. There's lots of ideas. Maybe series could be on Thursday night. You start out Bible study. There are ways to do it. There's processes. Ways to check out if the Lord's leading and if this is the right timing, the right place or not. And I would think it would be really cool within, we're coming up on our 5th anniversary. I would think it would be really cool before our 7th anniversary. We'll have God allow us to start a Bible Believers Church for Lansing, for Detroit, for wherever it's going to be. That would be easy. Rent the building for them, the storefront or something, that much. But going over and knocking doors and seeing what God would do. Wouldn't that be
easy?
That's the Bible Believers Church of Detroit, the Bible Believers Church of Pontiac. And then think about this. Just dream with me, right? Think about this. If the Lord blesses, and I don't, whatever, a medium-sized church, if we keep going like we're going, a couple hundred people by the 10th anniversary, 250, let's say. Say the Lord did that in about 4 different places, because we're not special. He blesses obedience wherever it is, right? So let's say the Lord did that in 4 or 5 different churches, Detroit, Pontiac, Lansing, Jackson, here, Monroe, around us. Now talk about getting some billboard signs. 4 or 5 different churches that over the years of the Lord blesses, and they're just a medium-sized church, 200-250 people. They got their full-time pastors and bishops and our local area. Think about putting on a Bible Believers broadcast on the television. How much easier it would be financially on that way. Billboard signs. You can get multiple billboard signs. And it's a little cheaper between here and Lansing than it would be right in Detroit. You know, I'm just saying, It is what we saw in Acts, right? That's what they were doing. They go and evangelize, and when the Lord blessed them, start a church. The church would start. The Holy Spirit did it. It was on this morning. He conceived that thing. It was Him. And when they rejected, they just said, you're blessed. So what? It's been on my own. It's my job. I'll go to the next place. Try again. So just pray about that stuff. You never know what the Lord might do. And I think that would be neat. I really do. I think that would be neat. All right, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. Skip down with me, if you would, please, to verse 32. He says this, and what shall I say more? What shall I more say? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, David also, and Samuel, and the prophets. Now watch this. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. That's not Star Trek or Stargate or verse 35, you guys are tough. You guys are really tough on me. This is ridiculous. It's only been 4 years. It's not been 40 years. You're still supposed to laugh at me when you're doing it. Alright, verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might attain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourge of jail, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted, or slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Now watch. Of whom the world was not worthy.
Amen.
They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And all, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be perfect. Pastor Jeff, let's go.
Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for the day you've given us. God, we thank you for being so good to us. Lord, I pray that you'd bless the preaching this afternoon. And God, you would speak to the hearts of every individual in here. Every one of us probably has different needs. Lord, I pray you'd be with Pastor and give him clarity of thought. Lord, I pray that he'd preach the message that you have for him. And we love you and thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Now, if you ask people, just your average Joe on the street, what their view of faith is, the average man thinks faith is belief that does not rest in logical proof or material evidence. They'll say faith is just, you know, your crutch. It's just a man's way of psychologically escaping, and you know, it's a weak-minded person who needs something to lean on. But the Bible does not teach that that is what faith is. Actually, when you look at Hebrews 11:1, it says faith is substance. It is the substance of things hoped for. And the evidence of things not seen. My faith actually has substance to it. And there's evidence to prove that what I believe is right. There's more evidence to prove my faith in Jesus Christ. There's more evidence to prove my faith in the perfection of the King James Bible. Then there is faith to prove anything evolution could dream of. Then there is to prove anything that the theological seminaries and the Bible colleges can cough up. There's more proof for your faith today if you're not in the right place than there is for any of those who want to make you doubt. So faith is not this blind idiot who just wanders about blaming stupidity on faith. Faith has substance. Faith has evidence. There's two kinds of faith. There's first of all saving faith. And you know that that's a gift that comes from Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you save through faith, not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Jesus Christ actually gives you the faith to get saved. It's up to you whether you take it or leave it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The Bible, when it's preached, the Bible, when it's opened, the Bible, when it's read, brings the faith that is needed for salvation. The problem is people say, I don't want to believe that. They get under conviction. They get uncomfortable. It's the faith and the conviction of God showing up as a gift with the grace. People all the time want to argue, is the grace the gift or is the faith the gift? For I guess you say it's faith not yourself, it's the gift of God. Which one? Oh, genius, they're both a gift of God. There's nothing I can do to merit my salvation. And there's no way I can sit by in the energy and power of the flesh and say, I just believe so much, I believe, I just believe, I'm believing harder until my salvation erupts. The gift of God. It comes by the Word of God. It comes by the Spirit of God. If you're born again today, it's because you received God's gift of eternal life. You receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. When you read the references on the faith of Christ, it's amazing what it opens up. I challenge you to do it. Run through your Bible and look at the faith of Christ, the faith of Christ, the faith of Christ. It's an amazing thing. But there's also a serving faith. There's a faith that you and I are commanded to have. There's a faith that we ought to have that allows us to serve God. Faith is one of the three gifts in 1 Corinthians 13 that ain't going away. Faith, hope, and charity. You think of Lester Rowall's life and ministry. That's a life and ministry of faith. He was a man who had a great proportion of faith. I don't know about you, but I long to be a man of faith. I long to be a man who knows God and believes God and has enough faith in God to fulfill all that God has for my life. That may not be much. That may not be significant in the world's eyes. That may not be significant in the brethren's eyes. But if I know that my faith was 100% God's man. And my friend had 100% faith in God to do whatever God said. And I accomplished all he has for me. Then I've been a very successful man.
Amen.
If I die alone, I die unnoticed. I die from the world's viewpoint of failure. Just like these over in Hebrews chapter 11. And it says that they, having not received the promise in verse 39, through faith received not the promise. If I die with all the faith of God in me, believing the promises of God, and never see them fulfilled in my lifetime, but I die 100% God's man, I've been successful.
Amen.
Faith has substance. Faith has evidence. But faith is not there at your whim to obey your mental power. That's the hard part. I just believe in God. I really believe in the job. Let me go. That's the problem with the charismatic movement. Because there are some poor souls who sit there and really truly believe. They really, truly have faith. They've been deceived by their spiritual leaders. They'll give all their money. They'll give everything they've got in order to find the healing, in order to get the gifts. They'll spend their life chasing a gift the Holy Spirit didn't give them. And in faith, they believe it. But they don't receive it. Why? Because God's working is not subject to my mental power to put my faith in. There's a difference between real faith and you believing something so hard you deceive yourself and think you have faith. Real faith works. I'll never forget when I was younger, I prayed that God would supply me enough money to pay my school bill up front, go to Bible college and pay the bill up front and not have to work so I could work extra hard and get involved in 3 or 4 ministries. And guess what God did? God sent a storm and the roof of my dad's church started leaking. The insurance company said it doesn't matter who you pay as long as all of the money is used to fix the place. So through that roofing job and the painting job and everything else that had to be done, God provided me enough money to pay off my car, pay off some debts, and pay my school bill up front for that year.
Hey.
That was amazing, man. I've seen a couple of things like that happen. I really have. By praying in faith in God, sometimes I think in His sweetness, He just blesses stupidity just to be nice. There have been other times that I've prayed and prayed and prayed my guts out. I believe. I claim silence! And God. All I can conclude about that, folks, is that we just got to trust God. We gotta put our faith on something solid. We gotta put our faith in the practical now. Faith is extremely practical. You know what I had to realize? I had to realize at one point that God sometimes answers my prayers through my own flat, my own blood, my own sweat, my own tears.
Amen.
You say, that's not faith, that's your works, boy. Are you kidding me? It takes more faith sometimes to go through it than it does to get around. God provides me a healthy body to work a job.
Amen.
I prayed, and God didn't answer. So I thought He didn't answer, but He opened up a place to work at the pizza shop in the evening. Didn't necessarily want to do that, but that's how He provides. I come to realize there's some things in the Bible, friends, that God already told us. A man doesn't work, you should eat. You can sit around all you want, be spiritual, and pray in faith that God will provide you a meal, thinking you're Hudson Taylor or some other super spiritual guru that we look to of the past. But guess what, man? God told you to work too.
Amen.
So it takes just as much faith to punch in the morning as it does to sit home and pray and read your Bible hoping God sends you food. You see, we carry away this thing, and I myself am not so carrying away. You guys know what extremist I am. Have you realized that yet? Mr. Pendulum Swinger. I mean, I've been so far over here, I do the craziest and stupidest things on the planet. And then go all the way over here to the point where, oh, I'll pray about that. God gave me a healthy breath. Right, man. The balance is somewhere in between. No, we did something really stupid in church when I put my job on the line. That was stupid. We jumped out there, and guess what? God caught us. Thank the Lord for it. He let us think we were going to sink a couple times, but he never did. What I'm trying to tell you is, don't lose your faith in something crazy if God tells you to do it. But make sure it's God telling you to do it.
Amen.
What I'm trying to tell you is, faith is not all mystical. Faith is not all this completely thing, this completely uncommon sense answer, this crazy thing. Faith is very practical. Faith is very real. Faith has substance. Faith has evidence. And we must stand on something rock solid with that faith if we're going to accomplish anything for God. It's stupid for us to sit around and pray that God will show up in our church and walk in refusing to worship God. Look at verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testified in his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speak. Abel's faith was shown in Abel's worship. Abel proved that he really believed in God and that he knew God was there was the fact that Abel came in worshiping God the way God said to worship him. I'm tired of this junk. I'm running into it more and more all the time. Well, you know, that's your way, and this is my way, and who cares about your way or my way? Well, I just think we should. Well, I don't care what you think. Any more than you care what I think. What did God say? We were out knocking on doors a while back. You guys, you know, well, my religion is, Jeff. Well, you know, I believe in a little bit of evolution with creation. So God started the evolutionary process and let it take place. I've been working out for 10 years, dude, on creating a chameleon lizard or something. He said, man, it took me forever, man. And I finally made my own species, dude. I told the Jeff, I said, let's smoke it all. What I believe is, and you know what I think, and I used to go to such and such a church, and I couldn't go in there because the pastor's kid was smoking pot, dude. He knew that I saw it, man, so he was like blaming it on me all the time, dude. I was like, well, my religion is, you know, what I believe. And I said, let me ask you a question. Do you care what I think? Not really. I'll be honest with you, man. Talk to me, man to man. Look at your face. Do you care what I think? No. You want to know something? God don't care what you think.
Amen.
I said it just like that. God don't care what you think. I said, when you get to heaven, God's going to say, what did I say? We ought to worship God according to what He said. Yeah. It doesn't matter what we think. It doesn't matter how we feel. You say, I try to praise the Lord, but I don't feel like He hears me. I don't care how I feel. Come to church and desire to worship Jesus Christ. Come to church, offer some praise and some thanksgiving to the Lord, gave it all for you and I. We've got to have faith in our worship. You worship God throughout the week? Do you? Is your prayer life a time of worship?
Well, we need to wait till we get to church to be good.
Walk around like a hypocritical fake. Act like you come to church to worship and you don't worship God Monday through Saturday, you're a stinking liar.
Amen. Amen.
Come to the prayer meeting on Wednesday night and pretend like we're men. We really want to get a hold of God. We really want the Spirit of God to move in our church. And we really want to see God do something great. Our hearts are just broken and consumed and passionate about God has done it real. Forget about it Thursday, and forget about it Friday, and forget about it Saturday, and strutting here on Sunday. The faithless shammer, strut and faker. Amen.
Amen.
Real faith worships God no matter who's looking, no matter what team is in. Could care less about team. I'm actually tired of preaching against the contemporary church. They're not sitting here today.
Amen.
Amen. God help us. I think we ought to fight the Catholic Church with everything in us. But guess what? The Pope ain't sitting. I want to worship. I want to give God what He is due for me, whether I feel good or not. Faith. Look at walking faith in verse number 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found,
because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch just walked with God. Wait a minute, stop and think about that. Let that sink in. Who can stop you from walking with God? Who around you matters when you're strolling down the field of time with your hand in the hand of God? What is going around you, on around you, is so important. When God is actually walking with you. I don't walk with God. We got you and I praying all day long. Confess every 24 hours, it's 24 hours, 24 hours. No, he's walking. He's doing work. He was coming home from work. He was heading in the kitchen from right to the shower. He's in the kitchen to sit down at dinner. He was getting up for dinner. He was sitting on his lazy boy while his wife was doing the dishes. Amen. He was watching the kids play on the floor and get on his nerves and jump on his lap and pull their nose and everything else they like to do. And he was walking with God. You folks realize you can sit there and watch your kids play and walk with God? Realize you can drive to the grocery store and walk with God? Realize you can walk up to somebody and handle a gospel tract and walk with God? Realize you can head to the hospital and you can walk with God? You can be in the recovery room and you can walk with God? You walk on with God? Isn't that awesome? How often when somebody's talking to you, do you find that you're actually praying while they're talking to you and they're interrupting you? Please don't become as pull us if I'm praying. You still know it. What are you saying? Yeah, I'll be right there. But I'm just saying, you're in a conscious, active state of walking with the Lord. Enoch walked with God if he wasn't up to God. What if? Laodicea, we know this. We know, we're going to start Revelation Wednesday night. We know that Laodicea is the end of the churches, and we know we're there. No, there's really no debating that obvious subject. But what if the Lord is waiting in Laodicea for that certain group of Philadelphians who are really close to Him in those very bad times? And God's going to call us up in the middle of the Laodicean age because He's so pleased with the walk of some faithful servants. And He says, you think God's going to rapture Laodicea because He doesn't want them to go into tribulation? I'm just saying, it's possible that there will be a remnant again for truly. Study the time frame there in Genesis chapter 5. You know what comes in Genesis chapter 6. You know what environment Enoch was in. You know how wicked it had become. You know how vile the generation was. And in the middle of all of it, Enoch was walking with God. He learned the tune of all. He learned to ignore what everybody else was doing. And he just said, God, you are everything. None of this matters. It's all about you. You're enough. Is God enough? Are you satisfied with God? What if God never gives you your want? What if God never gives you your wish? What if you're one of those that dies not receiving the promise you hope to receive? What if God never lets us have a megachurch? What if we never have an HMI radio broadcast? Is this enough? If God didn't know, it ought to be enough. It ought to be enough. Look at Noah in verse 7. By faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned him. became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Noah did not have the warning of God. Noah heard the warnings of God. Noah had faith to know that what God said, he's going to perform. Be not deceived. God is not loved. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Noah was a man who walked in righteousness. He was a preacher of righteousness. Nobody else would listen. But Noah continued to witness to the entire world that hey, God is just. And once you got home, you're going to get. And I know that God is just with me. So I'm going to walk in righteousness. Not so deceived. Would you just do right if God never blessed you again? Just because God fails to bless you in this life does not mean He's not going to bless you there.
Amen.
What God said God will do, God will do. He's just not sucking my time. Why does that be crazy? Is that a bug in it? Is it just me? Am I the most carnal person in here? I must be. It drives me nuts. I'm telling you. I'm not trying to be carnal right now. I'm really not. But the honest truth is, good night, man. Lord, you know this is what I need, and you know I need it now, and I don't get it by you don't see it. You got hanging on you. All the way through the Bible, He tells us how much He loves us.
Amen.
He knows what's best for us. And we just need to learn to trust Him. Noah heeded the warnings of God's word. Noah got his bullshit. Noah got his family food. God thank you. Abraham had wandered in faith, look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promises in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. In faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore in the earth. Now watch. God said, Abraham, go. Abraham said, you said go, I'm going. His friends of Abraham said, where are you going? He said, I don't know where I'm going. I'm following what God said to me. Because God told me to go. So I'm going where God told me to go. Right? Now, Abraham's faith has as the evidence and substance because God is not so evil that He is going to let you go through your entire life never seeing the blessing of God. He did have a vision. What a joy a baby brings to family. That was me and you were talking the other day about being older. It was us, right? Having kids older. And like, can you imagine Abraham and Sarah, how much they appreciated having a child? That must have been so special. I mean, well, just what an amazing thing, just in your old age to sit there and watch that baby. Now, God's good. God showed him a great thing and gave him a wonderful life. But you know what came with that after they were gone? You can't comfort me. You can't comfort me. You see all the stars in the heavens? And I talked lately here about the galaxies and how huge they are and how many light years it would take to cross just one. Nobody in here could cross the galaxies at the speed of light and die before they did in your lifetime. It's just amazing. It is absolutely mind-boggling how huge you are. God said if He increases His kingdom, there's going to be no end. You know how they will one day be inhabited? God said that the stars and the sand by the seashore, and God's going to fulfill that promise. My men are so obsessed with extraterrestrial life and life on other planets and all that stuff, because God said it's going to happen. There's something inside you that witnesses that. You know what came of this one little baby for these old people? The stars in the sky and multitudes, and the sand which is by the seashore. What I'm trying to tell you is you don't know how much effect your little faith has. You don't know how much power of God could be in that one person. You don't know what the Holy Ghost of God might do with that one slap you drop in the bathroom.
I went to the bathroom. Anybody know?
Everybody goes there.
Everybody goes there, right? And nobody will see you. It's a sneaky spot. You can hide in the stall and roll it into the toilet. Alright? Have you tried that yet? Who's done that? Justin, I got one finger. Me and Justin. That's it, just us? She tried to, you can put it in the paper towel rack, so when you pull the paper towel out, it falls out, you know? You never know. You never know. You never know. But in faith, we pass out those gospel tracts, saying, you promised your word will return home, and I believe it. And you know what, Lord? You need to show me in this lifetime how we might do that. I just wonder how many people are in heaven today. Because they picked up a gospel tract that somebody handed to you on the ground. I wonder how many people are in heaven today because somebody witnessed to them. Somebody told them about Jesus Christ and they went their separate ways and they never saw him again. But later on, God sent Paul by or Apollos by to water that seed and that person wanted to get right with God and went on to pastor a church or went on to be a soul winner. Hey, you just never know what God's doing. But the dream realized is always greater than the dream imagined. I haven't seen, ear hasn't heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared. We need some people who got some wandering things, who will just do what God said because God said it, and follow the word of God just because it's laid out there for them, and put their faith on what God said, plus nothing, minus nothing, reject all of the common sense arguments you want, put your faith in what God said, and it'll turn out right. Get super spiritual and you'll line up in a stinking mess. That super spiritual attitude is oftentimes nothing more than bloated arrogance, egotism, and pride. Now, if somebody can truly be super spiritual, I would be for them. I'm talking about the super spirituality that's a strut. It's a show off. Notice these men, verses 14 through 20 earnings. This is my favorite part. You got Moses. Look down there at Abraham, verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he's trying, offered up Isaac. You got verse number 20, you got Isaac blessing Jacob. 21, you got Jacob dying and blessing the sons of Joseph. You got Joseph dying in verse 22 and made mention of the departing of Israel. Verse 23, you got Moses. Verse 24, Moses. And on and on and on it goes through the Old Testament. You know what you see in these men? You see a winning thing. Think about Moses. He suffered major setbacks. He started out in the palace. He started out with everything. Moses kicked off his ministry with a bang, man. He had it all. He was going to be the deliverer. He knew God was in it. He knew God was in the driver's seat. He was fired up for God. And when he saw what the abusement when his fellows were like, he killed him and figured, this is time. God's ready. I'm 40 years old. I'm a mature man. It's time now. And God's ready for me now. Kill me. God wasn't ready. Moses disappears for 40 years. Moses comes back. And brother, when Moses comes back, only God could do what God did with Moses. Yeah. You think about Abraham. The Bible says he was dead. Jerusalem was dead. Hey, it was over. You got that? They were done. God promised it not come true. It was not going to happen. They were dead. They could not be produced. They were on their way out. And you know what God did? Because he had faith. He would have God's power. No. The stars and the sand are what God did when he had God's power.
think it might be important for you and I to think about that.
David.
Think about Isaac. What a mess that was. You remember the story? Isaac got into a big old mess there, and he winds up running from Esau. Remember? It's over, man. 21 years, I think it had come to. What a mess. He went out, gee, he's coming back in old man. He's coming back, Mr. Experience. And Esau's coming to kill him. But you remember on the way back, Esau met with that angel. And his life got changed in his older age. And boy, Isaac became something very not to take, I'm mixing them up. Take this great illustration of time. You wrestle with that angel, you bounce back. You bounce back. Why can't you do that? Why don't we? Why is it that when things don't go our way, we give up on God? Why is it that when things don't turn out like we hope they turn out, we just want to quit? Why is it that we give up so easy? Why is it that we don't get our wish? We pop like a bunch of little babies and lose our faith in God when after your worst failure, when error comes with you, when you touch yourself, when faith, just a little bit of faith, like a mustard seed, God's going to move a mountain for you. What causes our failure? Anything. You know what causes our failure? Anything. You know what causes our failure? Anything. And it hurts like everybody else. We could all sit around and have a little cry fest over how terrible others have treated us at some point in our life. There's actually people in this room that have hurt more emotionally and psychologically than anybody here will probably ever know. Very few people. Guess what? In eight circumstances, in others, it's a lack of faith. These guys bounce back. It's amazing to me to see the way they bounce back. And the power of God that shows up in their lives when they fail. Isaac did. Get him in the right place, you ready? Joseph was dead. Isaac's own confession was, I don't know that I have a mouth to my father, that the days of my life have been few. What a great man of God he was. What an amazing thought it was. It was him who took them down there in Egypt. I know God sent Joseph up down there, but he saw his family put there in Egypt, and he knew that in the end it turned out right. There's also war in faith, and this is the last one we'll look at today. Look at verses 30 through 37. This is my second. I like to bounce back. I don't really lie. I guess I feel like a loser sometimes, and I like to bounce back. This is my second. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. That's crazy. No, that's nuts. That's crazy. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God who came down. How are people going to get saved today? Faith. How else we get them saved? How are we going to get them discipled? Faith. How are they going to get the victory over sin that overpowers their life and get such a grip on that there's almost no hope after they get saved of them ever turning out to be a wonderful godly servant of Jesus Christ? How is it going to happen? Hey, the weapons of our warfare are not common, but mighty through God. Those walls will come down this way. And I believe we can still reach them and disciple them and see them saved and changed. But we have to be people. By faith, the heart of Rahab perished not with them that believed not, but she received the spies with peace. What shall I say more? For the time will fail me until the Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire,
escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness we're made strong. Wax valiant and hot. Turn to flight with arms and knees. Through faith, folks, they won. I don't like it. It appeals to my arrogant pride. If you don't think I'm proud, let's play volleyball and watch me do music. You think I'm kidding? I'm not kidding. I really do lose my temper. I really do. I just feel spiritually protected enough. It's okay. It's just a game. It's okay. It's not okay. You talk about it's okay. You're lying anyways because nobody really, like, oh, it's so cool. I lost. I'm a loser. No, nobody. Nobody. The nicest people among us are not honest when they have. Okay? If you call me proud, I call you a liar. Amen. Nobody did. Nobody did. I like the way. Don't you?
Amen.
Isn't that cool? Isn't it neat when God pulls you through and gives you the victory and you can pull that sword out and then you get some blood on them and when you're done, they're whittled down and nothing. Power of God. I like it. But wait a minute. Faith runs both ways. Verse 36. Others in a trial of cruel mocking and surgeons. Oops. Moreover, bonds of imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Literally cut in half. Strap them up, put a saw on them, and run back and forth from there on either side and just cut them up. Folks, you realize that you did that, they put them in logs. You punch the Book of Martyr. And they would put a wood saw, and they would cut through that hollow log. Cut completely through the human being, draining that log until they cut it in half. Brethren, cut people's kids. Just deny Christ, sir. Want to kill your babies. Don't sit around and I'll never deny the Lord. You talk with it like I'm the same way, I'm on God. I don't know what I do when I don't deny it. You see, the victory part I like. That's kind of neat. That's kind of cool when you are a little afraid and you're a little apprehensive, but God gives you the bravery and the courage and you head out into the battle and you win. You say, it's for you. God, look what God did. Oh! Yeah. Man, I like it. What about when they come in and arrest you and preach in front? What about when they stone you and cut you in half? When you're tempted and slain with the sword. What about if they run us off and we're hiding in the woods, wandering about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented? Same God. Did you hear me? Same God. Not a respecter of persons, so in that essence, the same people. Different circumstances. Same thing. What I'm trying to tell you today is don't put faith in the box. And think you've got it all understood. And if I do this, then this is exactly how everything's always going to work out. Because you might, and you might be right, and you might be full of faith, and you might be following God, and they might cut you in. They might arrest you. They might learn the mistake. Does God not love you anymore? Did your faith fail? Did this work out well in the old time? You see, faith is substance and faith is evidence, and I believe with all my heart that I'm trying to. When God is glorified so exceedingly beyond our ability to understand, when His servant goes to the stake, watches the fires get lit at his feet. It says, I will not deny my Savior when he goes to consume my body. Think about a person burning at the stake and how that flames will melt. They'll boil that skin, they melt that skin. I'm not trying to be gross, of course, but this really happened. There's people that really went through these things. The faith of Jesus Christ all the way. as that skin starts to boil and weakens and melt, the fat will drop off and then flames the fire. And they die. Not having to see us. Oh, don't let this happen to me. Don't let this happen to our family. How could you? And why would you? My guess would be we're not 21st century American Christians. But my guess is what they have was a real thing. And I'd be willing to bet that we get the glory. We see the glory of God that we find out of that. And the blessing that was to our Savior. And the crowns that He puts on His faithful servants. We realize the impact that life, that testimony, that looked like a waste, had an eternity. Our lives. We'll probably just sit down and cry for a couple centuries. And thank God for how good He is and how wonderful He is. What I'm trying to lay out to you this afternoon is whether we get the victory or whether we die, faith is real.
Hey.
God is true. And we'll never go wrong trusting God. Lord, I want to be a man of faith. And I know when I'm marching on it, Lord, it's not worth this time to be it. I know what I'm feeling. I know the Apostle Paul is our example there, Lord, is our pattern. And he, Lord, I strive to reach souls and edify Christians. Lord, I pray in faith the best I know how. I trust you to build this church. I trust you to bless our growing up in efforts and preaching of the gospel with the power of God and salvation. Lord, we want to see some people saved. It's been a while, and we ask you, Lord, to give us some souls. Help us to be faithful, the love of the disciple, and be blessed to it, and build hope. The Lord, more than even the numerical growth of our church, I pray, Father, that you would help your people to grow spiritually, help this body, this assembly, built up in our faith. Lord, some have seen your physical and material blessing. What a joy. What a blessing. Help them never lose their faith. Help them not to trust in uncertain riches, but in God. Then, Lord, others have problems in the other end of the spectrum. Health problems and struggles and frustrations. Lord, we all want a good sign. But I imagine the greater faith is in the smaller things and in the more minuscule things, and I imagine the greater glory facing God is in me. And I pray, Father, you help us to be people of faith. No matter what hand we're dealt, we ask you for your blessing, we ask you for your protection, we ask you for your multiply us. I ask you, Lord, to bless every one of these people here, bless their job, bless their income. Take care of them, lead them, guide them. But above all things, may we be people of faith. We ask you in Christ's name, Lord. Thank you.